The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said to him, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodgings and provisions, for we are in a deserted place." And he said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." And they replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. And then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we celebrate Feast of the Body and Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This sacrament of the divine reality truly present in our physical world, of his presence with us. And sometimes I hear it said the Mass is boring. You wouldn't say that, would you? Okay. You wouldn't say that either, right? Did you go to USC?
No.
Okay. Your cousin died. I went to USC, that's why I asked. Some people say the Mass is boring. Some people, like when I taught high school, said, "Why do we do that? Why can't we make it more fun?" What do you think the answer is? The answer is pretty basic. It's because Jesus said to do it, right? We didn't read from the institution narrative, the Last Supper, but at the Last Supper, Jesus says, "Do this." He doesn't give us many commands. Love God, love your neighbor. He is baptized, establishing that sacrament, but he commands us to do this. And the early church, from the very earliest writings, we hear the second reading, St. Paul, which is the earliest writings, we hear that he taught all the churches he founded to do this. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, we hear that the focus of the early community is the breaking of the bread. The end of the Gospel of Luke, we hear on the day of the resurrection, Jesus on the road to Emmaus showed up with the disciples, explained the scripture to them, and then they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And so from the earliest days, and then outside of scripture, from the early church fathers, we hear that this practice of the Eucharist was done since the earliest days, for 2,000 years. Because Christ commanded it. And he said, "Do this," and this is where it becomes hard for us modern people, "in remembrance of me." By listening to that, it's easy to think that we're just going through a ritual so that we will remember Jesus. That's the way I've always thought of that phrase. But what the church teaches, and it comes from the Jewish understanding of that concept of remembrance. It goes back to the earliest commands in the Old Testament. There was a whole series of sacrifices, both animal and grain, that were memorial sacrifices. And the writings and the instructions were to do these sacrifices so that God may call to mind the covenant he made with you. That's different. It's not that we may call it to mind, it's so that God may call it to mind. Remember the rainbow? When God created the rainbow and said it was a sign? Very strange. He says, I'm going to do this to remind me when I see the rainbow of the covenant I made with you. What does it mean for God to remember? God has no past, no present, no future. Actually, all present, forgive me. Right? There is no time for God. God is eternal. So for God to remember something, that doesn't make sense. For God who is eternal, that means that God will make it present for us to participate in. In other words, when God remembers the covenant, he's offering it again because it's eternally present to us who live in time. That was the Jewish concept of remembrance. And even in Jewish writings outside, in the time of Christ, and even to this day, the idea of the Passover being celebrated as a perpetual remembrance was so that every Jewish person could participate in the Passover. And so Jesus, in this sacrament, the new and eternal Passover, by saying, do this in remembrance of me, is saying, I want you to do this so that you may participate in this sacrifice I am going to offer once and for all. That's what Jesus meant by saying that. He was saying to the apostles that I want you to do this generation after generation so that the generations may be here with us present today. And since God said it, that's the reality. And so it is the Catholic teaching and understanding that this one sacrifice of Christ, his life, death, resurrection, is all present every time we do this in remembrance of him. The book of Revelation further tells us that what we do here is also being done in heaven. And we are joining heaven and earth by this sacrament, giving God praise. And in this one sacrifice, Jesus offers himself to the Father in perfect love for our sake and our salvation. And so we are invited to come forward and receive the benefits of that salvation. After at the beginning of Mass, we acknowledge our sins and then humbly come forward to receive the gift he offers us, not taking it, but receiving it. And more so, in addition, not more so, at the Eucharistic prayer, the priest not only says the words of the institution, this is my body, this is my blood, but then he will say, we offer this sacrifice to you. And so this is also an opportunity during that Eucharistic prayer where we join ourselves to Christ and make of ourselves an offering to God. The Eucharist is a profound gift. It's the communion of heaven and earth. It's the reality of our salvation made present for us to receive and to give ourselves to become one with in communion. The miracle we see in the gospel today gives us a more practical interpretation of our lives and this mystery. In the multiplication of the loaves, Jesus and the apostles are confronted with a huge problem: how to feed the multitude. And if it's 5,000 men, chances are you're talking 15 to 20,000 people. And the apostles say to Jesus, Lord, we got to do something. Let them go so they'll eat. And he says, you give them something to eat. Have you ever in your life felt that the demands upon you were so great that there's no way you could satisfy them? In your families, in your careers, in your children, in your schoolwork, in the family relations, making the world a better place, solving all the problems. All of us are that overwhelmed. And it's easy to despair and think, what can I do? I don't have much. You might look in your pockets and only find a little bit of money. You might look into yourselves and see only a little bit of talent or a little bit of education. you might only find 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, what good are these for the crowd? Jesus is saying, take them, offer them to me, give me what you have, and I'll multiply it and make it work. And then give them to others as I direct you. That's the principle of our life. That's what the Eucharist does for us. That's what our faith in God does for us. And that's what we do every time at this Mass. Every Mass, we take our 5 loaves and our 2 fishes, our meager talents, our meager time, our meager treasure, offer them to God and say, Lord, you do with them what you will, and direct me in how to give them to others. As we come forward on this Eucharist, let us recognize this great event in which we participate in our salvation, receiving from God the multiplied loaves of our 5 loaves and 2 fish, our meager selves that we offer him.